Praise the Lord. Now, think as if what I'm going to say now, you are the only one in the house, and I say Happy New Year. The Lord smoothing your way this new year in Jesus' name. The rough hedges in your path will be straightened out. The tears of the past will be dried up. The anxiety of the past year taken away in Jesus' name. New strength. New power. What am I talking to? A new life. New progress. Moving up, 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 from the old to the new. We will forget the past, because a new thing, somebody help me, a new thing, say to yourself, a new thing will come up in your life, in your family, in your ministry, in the church, in Jesus' name. Once again, brother, sister, son, daughter, mama, papa, Happy New Year. Father, we thank you and bless your name. Great, wonderful, glorious God. We pray that this year you will so bless your people, we will forget the agony, the anxiety, and the afflictions of the past in Jesus' name. Turn everyone around for the better. Something good, something unforgettable in every life in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. As we begin the year with our covenant month, today we're looking at moving up from the old to the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8, we're looking at verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it says, for finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. In verse 10, it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them upon their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. It tells us in verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He mentions the old covenant. Now he mentions the new covenant. And he says the new covenant replaces the old covenant. We're looking at three things here in the message. Number one, year. What's year? Yearning, honestly, after renewal. Year. You spell that out and you remember that every moment of this year. Yearning, honestly, after renewal. An exciting year in the new covenant. Look at number two. Number two, year. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. The expired year in the old covenant. Look at number three. Number three, year, yielding entirely as requested. An exciting, excelling year in the new covenant. The new covenant the Lord makes with his people. This year, your life will be exciting. Your life will be excellent. The old, that one will expire. Somebody say, expire. And some people don't look at what they buy, at what they eat. You go to the groceries, you go to the shop, and you pick it up, and you pay dearly for that. And then you get back home, and you eat and eat and eat, and something negative to the body. And then you just wonder, as you look at the package, they say, expired, expired. That you shouldn't have taken that thing because it's expired. And they say, expire before or at this date. But there are people that consume the things that have expired. And the Lord is telling us that we need to look every day of this year and all the yesterday's excuses, they expired out of my life. You know, excuse, I used to say, I can't do that. I'm not cut out for that. I'm not made for that. Others can do that and succeed. But me, all those excuses this year, they expire in your life. Yeah. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're looking at year, yearning, honestly, after renewal. It is that. When you yearn honestly after renewal, it is that that brings an exciting year in the new covenant. Look at the word of God again, because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6, but now as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Look at that first part now. Y-E-A-R. Y means your yearning for the promise of the new covenant. Why there is yearning. Number E there is earnest in the practice of the new commandment. A is active in the pursuit of new creatures. And R is resolute in the performance of the new covenant. Take why there, that is yearning. There are three words you need to hold tight. Yearn, learn, and yearn. You desire, you are longing, you want that thing. You're focused on that thing. Your mind is there, your heart is there, your focus is there. Yearn, learn. Because you yearn, you learn. If you're going to climb that mountain, learn. If you're going to achieve that thing, learn. If you're going to succeed what you failed before, learn. Yeah. Learn. And what you earn depends on what you have learned. And what you learn depends on what you yearn for. Those three words must never leave you. You want to earn higher? Learn more. Yearn more. You want to go higher and you want to earn a new height, a new level. Learn and yearn. You yearn, you learn, and you earn. And this year, you're yearning for the promise of the new covenant. Hey, look at Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, the days have come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 33. In verse 33, it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and will be their God, their provider, their sustainer, their promoter, their recreator. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is what we yearn for, that the promise of God will be fulfilled in our life, in your life this year, in Jesus' name. That is the covenant. You see the promise in that covenant. I will be your God. I'll be your shepherd. I'll be your Lord. I'll be your protector. I'll be your lifter up the head. And look at Psalm 89. We're reading from verse 34. It says, my covenant will I not break. He will not break his covenant with you. He has called you, he has saved you, he has put you in place, and he has promised good things concerning your life. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the sin that has gone out of my mouth. Yeah. He now is to earnestly be honest in the practice of the new commandment. The covenant, the commandment. The commandment, the covenant. The new covenant, the new commandment. Look at John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment that's right there at the door. When you get to the door, here is the door of that verse. Here is the door of the kingdom. Here is the door in the gospel. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, it says, by this the love, the new law, the new commandment, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one towards another. The same kind of mind and heart and affection and love that Jesus had. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 6 here. He that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. How did he walk? He walked in love. He knew, he always remembered, the Father sent me here to love the people. That's why he loved the blind, healed them. He loved the deaf, healed them. He loved the paralytic, healed them. He loved the sinner, and he healed he saved the sinner. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he give his only begotten son? That the son will reflect to the world that I, the Father, love the world. And so everything he said, everything he did, and when he sacrificed on Calvary, he was saying, this is how much God loves you. God loves the world, and we now will carry that love. Because he that says he abideth in Christ ought himself so to walk, even as Christ walked. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, it tells us there, it says again, a new commandment I write unto you. A new commandment. Now we're earnest in this year. While we're young, then we're earnest. We're earnest in the practice of a new commandment. He says, I write this unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. You're lost, and amen. And the true light now shineth. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 10, in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. The year, the year, earnest. You are earnest in the practice. A is to be active, active in the pursuit of the new creatures. New creatures, who are they? Look at them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old language passed away. Old lifestyle passed away. Old grumbling passed away. Old behavior passed away. Old attitude, the attitude to people, the attitude to problems, and the attitude to personality. Old attitudes pass away. Old things pass away. And behold, how many things say? Tell me out aloud. All things have become new. And now you have, and you are active in the pursuit of new creatures. What's their pursuit? Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we reconcile people. That is the pursuit of the new creature. We don't separate people. We don't scatter people. We don't scatter projects. We don't scatter anyone. We don't scatter their brain. We don't scatter their mind. We don't scatter any family. Now, we're active in the pursuit of new creatures, because he has now given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, to wit, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's what we'll pursue, and we're active in that, to reconcile the sinful world unto the holy God, to reconcile all those tribal, violent people, reconcile them to God and reconcile them to one another. And all those families, they're separated by misunderstanding and they have some axe to grind, we're now reconciling them. We are active in the pursuit of new creatures. And then he says, as we reconcile, and so that their sins not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. What does that mean? Somebody offended God. In offending God, he offended me, actually. The commandments tell us how to please God, our parents, our neighbors, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Whenever we go against that commandment, then we offend God. But God is willing to forgive. And if what they have done has affected you, has affected me, then as he is not imputing iniquity or transgression to them, then you will not impute the transgression unto them. And when God forgives, he forgets. And when you now carrying the grace of God, carrying the goodness of God, carrying the love of God to other people, you forgive and you forget. I want your amen.
Amen.
Now, the reason I wanted your amen, there are people, they have this ideology. You know, okay, I forgive you. I forgive you. But please understand, that thing pained me so much to the marrows. I forgive, but I cannot forget. You can if you wanted to. Forgiveness is from the will. It's from the heart. It's not an emotional thing. God forgave you and he forgot all about it. And he put your sin in the depths of the sea. The same love, the same pursuit you have to carry out now. He has given you the ministry of reconciliation. I forgive. Don't sleep on me. I forgive. And I forget. Because you have the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, we plead with you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. Somebody say amen. Galatians chapter 6, new creatures, new creatures, new creatures. Galatians chapter 6, we're looking at verse 14. In verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world, the world, the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But the world does not receive the Christ, the Savior, the Lord, the Shepherd. The world is marked by rejection. What's the world? The world is marked by violence. Crucify him, crucify him. But he healed your sister, crucify him. But he opened the eyes of your blind brother. Crucify him. That's the world. That's the world. But now, the world is crucified unto me. The jealousy of the world, the envy of the world, the violence of the world, the wickedness of the world, crucified unto me, and I unto the world. We're separate. Or different. Look at verse 15 there. Verse 15 tells us, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision the Jews, nor availeth anything, nor uncircumcision the Gentiles, but a new creature, neither Jews, circumcision, neither men and women from my tribe. You know, there are people that say, we're born again, we're born again, we're born again. The Jew is only attracted to the Jew. The uncircumcision, the Gentile, only for the Gentile. But when you are really born again, understand, we now are active in the pursuit of the new creatures. We don't mind that man is Yoruba, the wife is Hausa, that sister is Igbo, and the wife is, or the husband is Efik. Now, we do not know any tribe. We do not know any kind of segregation, because now is the new creature, Gentile, Jew, they are born again. They are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, I'm praying, because this year, those who are seeking for the will of God, this year your answer will come. And so as you are praying, you are a Yoruba man to the core. Your dream, Yoruba, your blood even has some Yoruba trace in that blood. And, you know, your outlook, the food you eat, everything Yoruba, the dress you wear, and you're praying to know the will of God. And God so graciously revealed to you an epic person. You shake your head. If she is not Yoruba, forget about marriage. This year, Yoruba, Efik, Igbo, Hausa, whatever, only new creature. Yeah. All you are concerned about is no more about circumcision or uncircumcision, about Jew or Gentile. It's about a new creature. I said it's about the new creature. Look at verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. Peace be on you. And mercy upon the Israel of God. We are now the Israel of God. The year, why? You yearn. E, you are earnest. A, you are active. R now tells us about being resolute in the performance of the new consecration. Look at John chapter 5, the consecration that Jesus Christ has laid now for you and for me, for us. Here is Jesus. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. That is the height of consecration. I give God 1,000 naira, good. 1,000,000 naira. Good. Pound sterling, good. I give him dollars, good. But The consecration, as Christ has demonstrated, the consecration, as Christ has revealed, is, I do not my own will, not my will, but thine be done. Not thy word, not my word, but thy word I speak. Not my way, just your way. That is the new consecration the Lord is calling us to, from the pattern of Christ, from the model of Christ, from the example of Christ. It says, I seek not my own will. And this year, the consecration is all that I, inside my view, my idea, my knowledge, my expectation, and the things I like, all those things, will bury them this new year. It's like, you know, there are passengers. Maybe they think they know how to drive that more than the driver of the taxi. And they're saying, taxi man, go this way, go this way. And the man keeps on going the way he wants to go. He knows the way. Why don't you relax? And he says, not my will, not my word, not my way, and allow the driver to go the way he already knows. God is the driver that is going to drive you to your destination. He knows what he's doing. He knew the end from the beginning, and you're telling the Lord, drive on, drive on. I've never come across that street before, but God is driving. Drive on. And he will drive you to the right place in Jesus' name. And you are not struggling with God the Creator, God the Driver, God the Light, God the Guide. You see, you are resolute in the performance of the new consecration. It says, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And look at Philippians chapter 2, reading here from verse 4. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things. That's the consecration. That's the consecration. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're here like Christ. His consecration was that I came not to be ministered to, I came not to be served, I came not to be exalted, I came not to be honored, but I came to serve, I came to minister. That is the consecration of Christ. And he says we should have that same mind. Verse 5. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He gave himself, he sacrificed himself for the salvation of the world. You want to give up whatever you need to give up for the salvation of your neighbor, for the salvation of the community, for the salvation of people in your country, and for the salvation of people beyond your country. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That new consecration, the Lord effect in our lives, in Jesus' name. Welcome to point number two. Point number two, year. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. That's the year. This year, if we're going to climb up, and thank God you're climbing up, higher ground, higher achievement, higher spirituality, and if that is going to come, we must jettison, forget, abandon yesterday's excuses. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely the expired year in the old covenant. Look at the word of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 26, reading from verse 13. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13, the slothful man says, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. Sir, why are you not going out to work? There's a lion on the street. Have you been there? No. How do you know there's a lion in the way? I just know that if I go out, it'll crush my bones. Excuse, excuse. Why are you not doing this? There are lions there. Why are you not accomplishing this? There are so many competitors. If I come out and I compete with them, they're going to blow me up. Excuses. The year now, what spoiled last year? What spoiled the past years? Yesterday's excuses. And if this year is going to be a new year, yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. Those things are expired. They will not be in your life anymore in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 26, reading from verse 14. In verse 14, it says, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so doth the slothful man on his bed. That lamb came up. Then the fellow just stretched his hand and stopped that lamb. A little sleep more, a little sleep more, a little sleep more, and poverty comes upon him. That's what wrecked us and ruined us in the past. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. What's he going to bring to his mouth when he's not working? When excuses paralyzed him. Is there analyzing the story of the nation? Is there analyzing and making conclusion and jumping to conclusion? Nobody can succeed here. Nobody can make it here. Things are tough and things will be forever tough. No. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. That's what makes the new year a really new year. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Somebody is going for an interview, and he sees the bus conductor and a passenger, and they're arguing. He forgets he's going for an interview, and he sits there, and he meddles with things not concerning him. Somebody hears a noise from the other house, and he stops what he's doing. He stops his prayer. He stops his pursuit. He stops everything, and he's listening to the strife in the other house. The person who meddles with a strife not belonging to him abandons his own way. He's always interested in things that do not concern him. The things that do not contribute to his success or to his progress is like a person that took a dog by the ears, and that dog will bite success out of his life. Now, we want to understand, what excuses did I have the previous year? What excuses did I raise up the previous year. I cannot do that because, I cannot do that because, I cannot do that because all of yesterday's excuses were abandoned in Jesus' name. Why? Look at why now. Yesterday is gone. Confess and forsake it. Evil is godless. Condemn it and forbid it. Addiction is gambling. Come out and flee from it. Reclusiveness is goalless. Climb up, freshen up. Look at why there. Number one, why yesterday is gone. The water is gone under the bridge. Yesterday is gone. Confess it, forsake it. Job chapter 34. In Job chapter 34, reading from verse 31, surely it is meet, it is proper, it is suitable to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement. If I have done, I will not offend anymore. I will not offend anymore. I will not offend anymore. You know, the offense we are talking about, some people don't know what's offense. The offense is that hinder peace in your heart, that hinders partnership with helpers. The offense is the people, they talk too often, they talk too quickly, and they talk too much loud. Somebody wants to help you, and before he finishes his sentence, you come in. He wants to take over the conversation because he's saying, is this not your need? Is not this the challenge? From my experience, I can do it. You're coming again, and the fellow feels this man doesn't need help. Mr. Know-it-all, Madam Know-it-all. You know, yesterday's offenses that caught off success from us, helpers from us, and the goodness from us, and the little things that drove the achievement you should have got. Lord, if I have been so careless and I didn't allow the helpers you sent into my life, I'm looking at this and looking at this, it says I will not offend anymore. Look at verse 32. Verse 32, that which I see not, teach thou me. Can we say that together? That which I see not, teach thou me. The Lord will teach you. Amen. That which I see not, but is it not there? Look at Hagar with Ishmael. They had been driven out, and Hagar had a bottle of water. The water had finished. Now, you can do without food for many days, but you cannot do without water for many days. And so Hagar, knowing that there's no water, thrust the child aside. And the Lord had promised, when Abraham said, let Ishmael live, and the Lord had said, 12 kings, princes, nations will come out of him. But now the water in the bottle is gone, finished, exhausted. And so she threw the child there, crying, I don't want to see the death of the child. But through her tears, she looked up. A well of water had been there all along, but she didn't see it. The well of water that will bring refreshing into your life, you will see this year. Thinking all is gone, I've lost, the child is going to die. Your child will not die. That which I see not, teach thou me. Here comes a woman And she was, you know, wanting to draw water. And she came at an odd hour. Why? Because of the stigma upon her life in the society. And she came to draw water. And Jesus said, "Give me water to drink." And she didn't know that this is the Messiah. "That which I see not, the helper I see not, the uplifter I see not," he said, "teach thou me." And she started saying, "How can you tell me to give you water? You being a Jew?" "No, madam, this is not a Jew. This is Jesus. This is the Savior of the world. How can you, being a Jew, ask of me water? Do you have anything to draw the water?" He created that world. He created the earth. He has much more to draw. And then it's, after all, Jacob, our father, gave us this. "Are you greater than them?" And Jesus said, "You drink of this water, you will thirst again. And I have water to give you that you will not thirst anymore." And yet she did not see. The Messiah may be there, she did not see. The Savior is there, she may not see. And eventually, "Go call your husband." "Husband, I have no husband." And Jesus showed a little light. "You said right. Because you've had five husbands, but the person you are with now is not your husband." "What? You are a prophet." Now, he was going to ask a religious question. And she said, "At last we know the Messiah cometh in the future. The Messiah cometh from the sky. And when that Messiah comes, he will teach us all things." The greatest surprise of her life. Jesus said, "He's not coming from heaven, he has come from heaven. He's not coming in the future, he is here. I that speak unto you, I am he. He's right there by your side. And that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more." All the iniquity, all the, you know, rashness, and all the things we've done in the past that took away good things from us, this year I will do no more. Speaking before I think, I will do no more. Acting before I think through, I will do no more. All those evils of yesterday, yesterday is gone. Confess and forsake it. Look at Psalm 139, verse 23. In Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts." Verse 24, it says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The Lord will lead you this year. But don't jump ahead of God like we did in the previous years, and we ran ahead without our guide. He will lead you in the way everlasting, in Jesus' name. Evil is godless. Condemn it and forbid it. In Proverbs chapter 24, reading from verse 20. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 20. "But there shall be no reward to the evil man." There will be no addition of good, gracious, wonderful things for the evil man. And it says, "The candle of the wicked shall be put out." The candle, even the little light he has, because of evil, that candle shall be put out. Evil is godless. condemn it, forbid it. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle with them that are changing. They're the chameleons of the day, moral chameleons, spiritual chameleons, emotional chameleons, and people, human chameleons, when they roam, they adjust. It's like they never read the scriptures. When there were sinners, they're just like them. It's like they never heard of the Savior. It's like they never had any contact with the life changer. They are chameleons. They change and change and change. And it says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. You'll be steadfast this year. Amen. Firm in the truth this year, in Jesus' name. Look at this boy, very fervent. And in fact, at home, when the family has morning devotion, and they say, they read the scriptures, and they say, now, my boy, you are the preacher this morning, and that boy begins to dig up revelations of the word of God that the parents are surprised. They didn't know this boy had so much of God's revelation in him. But our boy goes to university, and the very first semester, this boy, a revivalist at home, an evangelist at home, a teacher of the word at home, just one semester in college, he has meddled with them that are given to change. He comes back. It's like the college has erased the word of God, the revelation of truth, away from his mind. Surprise of all surprises, he has even joined a gang. That's yesterday's evil. We abandon that this year. Because it says in that verse 21, my son, my daughter, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, for their calamity, the people that are given to change, their calamity shall rise suddenly. And who knoweth the ruin of them both? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just evil appearance. It looks like evil. How? Well, my pastor interprets this. I think it's all right. But there's a little evil there. There's an appearance of evil there. How will my spiritual mommy interpret this? Would this bring tears in her heart's eyes concerning me? How will daddy, spiritual daddy, how will he look at this? Is this not an appearance of evil? They've taken me to be at this spiritual level. And daddy, mommy, even use me to be a model for my siblings. And was look at your junior brother, look at your senior sister, and look at how good and nice and respectful and studious and spiritual he is. Now, if I go to this meme, that daddy, mommy, and my sisters and brothers and the people in the church, they have been using me as an example. They have been using me as a model. If they see me in this, even though I may justify it, is this not an appearance of evil? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Look at verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You need a good amen there. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Amen. Addiction is goalless. Addiction to substance, addiction to that secret injection to get high. When we come to Christ, he lifts us high, and we live, we dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take you higher than that. But when you have addiction, you're addicted to substance, you're addicted to, you know, that evil sin, that addiction is gambling. You're gambling with your life. You're gambling with your health. You're gambling with your education. You're gambling with your progress. You're gambling with your destiny. Addiction is gambling. You know, if you know some of, you know, the young people, they're no more young now. They were young in the past, and they had the brain, they had the intelligence, and they had a future. But now they became addicted. And that smoking that thing, taking that thing, swallowing that thing, injecting that thing, addiction came. Addiction is gambling with your life. So come out and flee from it. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's what addiction does, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. In verse 19, who being past feeling, that's what addiction does. It so deadens the brain, it so clouds the mind, it so stiffens the neck, that the fellow is there into nothing. He's addicted. Because of that, no feeling of hurting himself, no feeling of injuring his life, no feeling of destroying his own future. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're reading from verse 2. Verse 1. In verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. I will not depart from the faith. Given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. How can I explain that for you to understand? You understand, salesmen, they have commodity. They want to sell that commodity until there are those evil spirits. Oh, they don't announce I'm an evil spirit. No, they are salesmen for the devil. And they will present the devil, the commodity from the devil, from the hands of the devil. They sell, they qualify, they paint a great picture, and they seduce people because of their ability in salesmanship. That evil community they present unto you, and you forget yourself. And it says the Spirit is speaking expressly. It's warning us expressly that in the latter times, in the times we live, some shall depart from the faith. How did that happen? Because the salesmen of Satan had come to them, seducing spirits, and introduced something to them, even doctrines of devils. And they sold that doctrine of the devil so well that they bought the commodity of the devil, and they paid dearly for that. I will not buy anything from the salesman of the devil. God bless you. I say God bless you. You know, sometimes you listen to somebody carrying a false doctrine, and they scheme out Jesus from salvation. They talk about salvation, they exalt salvation, they even mention the gospel, but there's no Jesus in that gospel. There's no Calvary in that gospel. There's no blood of the Lamb in that gospel. And they present it so well. They're very great communicators for the devil, and they're salesmen for Satan. And you say, look at this, and then you drop what you have in your hand and you buy the devil's doctrine. I will not buy the devil's doctrine. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We're looking at R now. R, reclusiveness, is goalless. Climb up, freshen up. You know, there are people that they know so much now, I'm not of their caliber. That's what they say. So they separate themselves. Well, the church, oh, thank God for church. Thank God for deeper life. I've been there all these many years, but now I'm getting revelation that deeper life has never got. I'm having something that they won't even understand. They have gone to the, Paul the apostle went to the third heaven. They have now gone to the seventh heaven. And we down here, deeper life, we cannot understand them. We cannot understand their language. We cannot understand their vision. We cannot understand their vocabulary. We cannot understand their shaking and shaking. We cannot understand spirituality. Seventh heaven. That's what they claim. And so they separate themselves. They are recluse. Reclusiveness is goalless. You don't have a goal. You don't have a goal. You have to minister to the people who are here. Come down. Be with us. Ezekiel said, I search where the people search. I dwelt where the people dwelt. And then God said, son of man, speak unto them. If you are isolated, if you go so high and so up, we cannot even see your face anymore. We cannot touch you. We cannot relate with you because you're reclusive. No, shouldn't be. That will spoil all the goals in your life. And because you are intent on doing this, you have to isolate yourself and separate yourself so that from there you can do whatever you want to do. Come down, come back. God has a great plan for you, and that plan, you will not spoil it in Jesus' name. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. We didn't drive them. We didn't push them away. They, by themselves, reclusive. These be they which separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. When you separate yourself like that, you might have another spirit, but you don't have the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter 65, reading from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, which says, stand by thyself, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. Did you hear what I'm reading? I said, did you hear what I'm reading? You know, the husband is so holy, holy now. My dear, please, this new year, don't come to my room. Why? Well, you know how holy I am, holier than you. Don't touch my clothes. Don't say you want to iron my clothes. Thank you very much. Because this year, I am up there. Husband, come down. I said, come down. Two shall be. I said, the two shall be. And when one of them separates himself, separates herself, holier, holier, holier than thou, and is up there, and the wife is now there in the valley, breach that gap. Stop that separation, because these that say that I am holier than thou, these are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day. Reclusiveness is goalless. Climb up and freshen up. Refreshing will come into our lives. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Saturday we have workers' meeting. Come. Don't separate yourself. And Sunday we have the Sunday worship. As the Lord is going to bless you today, you will carry the blessing of the Lord throughout the week. And then next Sunday, come. The Lord will bless you. And our leaders meeting on Tuesday, no isolation. Well, I've been listening to our GS, the pastor, for all these years now. I just have a revelation that he does not have. Maybe. But is that a reason to isolate yourself? Don't isolate yourself. Come. Your revelation, come and tell us. We'll give you the pulpit here. If it's according to the word of God, we all will benefit from that revelation in Jesus' name. No isolation in Jesus' name. You're powerful in prayer. Come. We need a person like you. Now, if you're so powerful in prayer and you're there, out there, isolated, what are you praying for? Are you praying for the sky? Are you praying for the stars? Are you praying for the moon? Are we not the people you're supposed to pray for? And if you're far away from us, how is it? How are you going to minister to us? Come. And as you come, there'll be goal in your life. You'll be a goal achiever. You will be a success. You will make a definite, positive, good impact upon us all, me included, in Jesus' name. A good new year. Amen. We're coming to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the year yielding entirely as requested. God has requested, he has required, he has said, this is the way to go, walk ye in it. The year, spell out that year, yielding entirely and as expected. as required, that will make an exceeding year in the new covenant. Hey, look at the word of God as it tells us here in Joel chapter 2, reading from verse 25. Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and I will restore to you the years, I will restore to you the years that locusts have eaten, and the canker worm and the palmer worms and the caterpillars and the palmer worms, my great army which I sent among you. In verse 32 tells us, it says, and it shall come to pass. This year it will come to pass. In your life it will come to pass. In your business it will come to pass. The dreams of many years ago, this year is the fulfillment in your life in Jesus' name. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The Lord will knock off the hand of the enemy out of your life. He will deliver you completely. Spirit, soul and body deliverance. Personal, family, community deliverance. This will be the best year you ever lived in your life. Yielding entirely as requested, an exceeding year in the new covenant. We're looking at four things. Why? Yield to the calling of the covenant keeper. The calling of the covenant keeper. E, enter into covenant like other covenant keepers. Others have followed the Lord and they have kept the covenant. They are the covenant keepers. Like them, enter into covenant with God. And then abrogate, annul, nullify all commitments to covenant killers. The people that kill the covenant, dissociate from them, abrogate all commitments to covenant killers. And then revive your consecration to our covenant keeper. Look at number one. Number one there is yield to the calling of the covenant keeper. In Galatians chapter 1, reading from verse 15, Galatians 1 verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Look at verse 16, to reveal his son in me, to reveal the grace of the son in me, to reveal the gospel of the son in me, to reveal the goodness of the son in me, to reveal the godliness of the son in me, to reveal the ministry of the son in me. It said, to reveal the son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And that's what you do in this new year, to yield to the calling of the covenant keeper. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's what God has called us to. He called us to repentance. He called us to righteousness. He called us to responsibility. He calls us to holiness, for God has not called us to unrighteousness, to uncleanness, but He has called us unto holiness. Yield to the calling of the covenant keeper. Look at E here. E is enter into covenant like other covenant keepers. You see, the people in Bible days, the covenant keeper spoke to them, and they received what he said, and they entered into covenant with God. And if any other entity, any other personality comes to them and say, do this, no, I have covenant with the Lord. And that's what we need to understand. As children of God, you are called to repentance, you are called to salvation, and you have received that call, and you have come, you have entered into partnership with God, you have entered into relationship with God. As you have entered into that covenant, like other covenant keepers before you, you abide in that, you stay with that, and you do not allow any other covenant to enter in and pollute the covenant of the Lord. In Psalm 50 verse 5, Psalm 50, reading from verse 5, gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You sacrifice whatever will hinder your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, your fellowship with God is so precious that anything that will tamper with that, you reject, because you have entered into a covenant relationship with him like other covenant keepers. Romans chapter 12, we're looking at verse 1. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves, it says, we will present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Then it says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You present the totality of your being unto God in serving God, not only on Sunday, of course, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the days of the week. Not only in church, at home, you present yourself unto God. As you talk to people, present your tongue unto God. Present your mouth unto God. Let it do God's work, and let it serve God by serving your neighbor. Present your hands unto God. Present your feet unto God. Present yourself, your body, every member of your body unto God as a living sacrifice. Those hands, what are the hands I'm talking about? I said, what are the hands? Those hands will do good. Yeah. Those hands will care for the needy. Those hands will feed the poor. Those hands will heal the sick in Jesus' name. Church, I think we misunderstand when I say those hands will heal the sick. What are the hands again? Amen. Your hands will heal the sick. Now, maybe your amen is limited to your lay hands on the sick and recover. That's a very limited understanding. Can I still preach? I said, can I preach? So, be quiet now. The hands that will say will heal the sick, it's not every time we're laying hands on the sick for them to recover. Here is David, and he had lost quite a lot. And he cried until David had no power to cry anymore. And he said, the people that have invaded Ziklag, can I run after them? God said, yes, go after them. And he went after them. As they were going, they saw a young man, sick, tired, faint, worn out, almost passing out. They stopped their journey and they brought that sick, dying fellow, and their hand made some food, some fruit for them, for that boy. With their hands, they gave that dying sick person. And after that, he was revived. They didn't lay hands on him, but it was their hand that brought the refreshing, the healing, the renewal. After that, they said, who are you? He said, I am an Amalekite. And then he had connection with Egypt. They said, where have you been? He said, my master and I, 3 days ago, we invaded this place. And we brought out all the belongings of the place. What? Can you lead us to the place? He said, yes. Now, he was strong. They didn't lay hands on him to be healed. They fed him, and he was well. Food is medicine. Medicine is food. Where are you? Because their hands prepared the food that made him well. He now led them. Could he have legs to walk without their hand preparing food and giving him? Could he have strength? Could he have sight without their hands preparing the food and giving him? And the people who invaded the land and took David's wives and took all the property of the people that they cried, the people were settled up. And David got to them because his hands administered to this dying fellow. And they got there, overcame them, and got all the lost recovered. You will recover all you've lost. But those hands of yours, and these lips of yours, and this tongue of yours must do good in everybody's life. And the people you help, and the people you lift up, they will lead you to the recovery of everything you have lost in Jesus' name. Look at verse 2 there. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. You know, in this world now, there's no good Samaritan world. They are rushing and rushing and I must get there. I have an appointment. I have this, I have that. And you see somebody who is left half dead, by the way. They just look and they rush on. The world is in a hurry. And they hurry away from the people they should help. They hurry away from the people they should leave. Be not conformed to this world. This world does not care now. Only for themselves they care. Even, you know, institutions, they care for themselves. And I'm sorry to say, the people that should be healing the sick and raising the dead and preventing death, when things don't come their way, the way it ought to come, they are angry with the government. And then the populace must die for that. But you know, we as believers and we as Christians, the government is not giving us everything we ought to have. Well, you keep on negotiating with the government, but the sick people there, keep on caring for them, and the Lord will reward you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. R A. Thank you very much. You know, sometimes we have to correct the preacher. Thank you for the correction. Abrogate all commitments to covenant killers. The people who kill the covenant. We're making covenant with God this January. And there are people, the commitment we have made, the consecration we have made, the covenant we have made with the Lord, there are people that will want to kill that covenant. The covenant God is making with you, nobody will kill it in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, but now I have written unto you, not to keep company. If any man, any woman, any person that is called a brother, a sister, be a fornicator or a covetous person or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, it says, was such and one, no, not to each. We have to guard jealously our fellowship with God, our relationship with God, our covenant with God, our consecration unto God. While that is 1 Corinthians 5:11, let's look at another 5:11. Ephesians 5:11. It tells us here, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Those who go into darkness, spiritual darkness, secret society, occult company, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? They are covenant killers. They are not in covenant with the Lord. They will take you away from the covenant you have with God through Christ. And so have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Rather reprove them. Are now revive your consecration for our covenant keeper. Revive it. Your consecration with our covenant keeper. In Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? No, the grace that is given unto you, saving grace, sanctifying grace, sufficient grace. Know that grace that is given unto you, the grace that saves, the grace that sanctifies, the grace that purifies and makes holy. Know that grace and abide in that grace, sufficient for every need of your life. It says unto me, who am blessed and the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles. Tell me, say it aloud, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what he has given to us. So we're not limited to one narrow gospel, to one small gospel, to one confined gospel. Salvation, confessing sin every week and repenting every week. No, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ that saves and sets free from sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Unsearchable, unsearchable. And then he said that ye may be partakers of his holiness. And when you are a partaker of the holiness of God, you are holy in the morning, holy in the afternoon, holy in the evening, holy in the night, holy when you are alone, holy when you are with other people. And community or society does not make you forget yourself and you are swept away, because it's the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it is the kind of riches of Christ that says he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. The death and the riches, the length and the breadth of the provision of God through Christ by the Spirit. It says unsearchable. So don't you know, come to the corner there and say, you know, salvation, salvation, salvation. Go beyond that. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Go beyond that. Pardon, pardon. Go beyond that. There's pardon, there's purity, there is power. And God help you that you'll not drop any of the riches of Christ in Jesus' name. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and to make all men see. To make all men see. You know, there are people that have the concept, you know, this person is there, he does not believe in holiness, so don't rub him the wrong way. Since he doesn't believe in holiness, don't talk about holiness while he's here. But without holiness, he cannot see the Lord. It's unfortunate he didn't believe in holiness until this time. And this is part of the unsearchable riches of Christ. We talk about holiness everywhere, every time. Give me a good amen. Amen. You know, this person does not believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. So don't talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. It will bring confusion. It will bring division. It will bring, you know, argument. If he doesn't believe, why not? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You must have your understanding brightened. And you must have the depth and the height and the provision of the Lord, so that by the grace of God, salvation, talk about salvation, holiness, sanctification, talk about that, and then the power, immersion in the Holy Ghost, talk about that. You must preach, like Paul the Apostle, the unsearchable riches of Christ in God. And it tells us now, look at verse 20 there. In verse 20, now unto him that is able. Our God is able. In your life, our God is able. Throughout this year, our God is able. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, according to the power that worketh where? Us? Where? Where? In me. This power will work in you. And when God is at work, every other work, the work of the devil, will demolish and be demolished and destroyed out of your life in Jesus' name. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil out of your life. Amen. Your time has come. Amen. Your year has come. Amen. Verse 21, in verse 21, it says unto him, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout how many ages? This age included all ages, world without end. The world has not ended. God is still at work. He will do wonders in your life this year without number. Job chapter 5 verse 8. Job chapter 5 verse 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. I will seek unto God. Unto God will you commit your ways, your life, your cause. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, which doeth great things and unsearchable marvelous things without number. Miracles without number. Wonders without number. Great marvelous things without number. And if there's anybody in the whole world that is blessed beyond expectation this year, it is you. If there is anybody that receives wonders, miracles without number in this church, in this land, in this country, in this continent of Africa, and in the world, if there is anybody that is going to experience wonders and miracles without number this year, my brother, my sister, it is you. Rise up and tell the Lord, you are that chosen one, and you are that special one, and you are the one that comes into this covenant relationship with the Lord. And this year will be a year of exciting, refreshing miracle upon your life. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Tell the Lord, this is that year, and this is that time, the time you have been waiting for. A new year has come, and you have this new year, and the Lord is going to move you up from the old to the new covenant. Open your mouth and tell the Lord. Talk to the Lord in a prayer. Tell him, this new year, yearning earnestly after renewal. Yearn. Learn and yearn more, learn more and more. Yearn big. Learn big and big. Yearning honestly after renewal. Passion, longing, desire. Yearning for the promise of the new covenant. He'll write the word in your heart. He'll write his law in your heart. And you will always remember, he'll write his promise in your heart. And you will be a receiver. You are earnest in the practice of the new commandment. Love. The frown, love. The gossip, love. The criticize, love. You are loving earnestly in the practice of the new commandment. You are active in the pursuit of the new creature. The old man, forget about that old man. The old man that easily gets angry, annoyed, bitter, envious, forget about that old creature. The new creature, you are now actively pursuing. And you are resolute in the performance of the new consecration that Jesus Christ said, I do nothing of myself, but as I hear, as I judge, and I always do that which the Father sent me to do. That was his consecration. Have that new consecration this new year. Resolute in your mind, resolute in your heart, resolute that what the Lord has commanded, that's what you are going to do. Let nothing, the winds that blow, the storms that rage, let nothing change that resolution of your heart, that you will do all he has said. The performance of all his commandments and your consecration. So lay everything on the altar that you say, Lord, here am I, like Christ, having this mind in you, which was also in Christ, that he did exactly what the Father had ordained. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. Excuse, I cannot go. I cannot pray. I cannot give. I cannot help. I cannot offer. I cannot run the race. I cannot do all the expects of me to do. I cannot be free. I cannot overcome. The excuses of yesterday, abandon resolutely. I cannot change. I am programmed to do that. I am programmed to be a low-level believer all my life. Yesterday's excuses abandoned resolutely. He's able. Yesterday is gone. Confess it, forsake it. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done evil, done wrong unknowingly, show me, tell me, teach me, I will do no more. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, and know my thoughts, I pray. And lead me, cleanse me, lead me in the way everlasting. Evil is godless. Abstain from evil. Abstain from all evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Because evil is godless. Evil is godless. Condemn it. forbid it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. And faithful, faithful, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Addiction is gambling. What you feed your brain with will eat up your brain. What you feed your brain with, you feed your brain with pornography, it will eat up your brain. You feed your brain with that local alcohol, just scatter the brain. Addiction, addiction. You feed your flesh, your body with cocaine, marijuana, whatever. Nothing will dry you up. It makes you gamble with your life. You gamble with your health. Addiction is gambling. Come out and flee from it. Reclusiveness, staying alone, thinking alone, hiding alone over there, and you're not related with anybody. That's goalless. You don't have any goal. That would derail your life. Climb up, freshen up, come to fresh air. Tell the Lord for this year to become a new year. You yield entirely as requested. Yield, yield to the Lord. You are drowning in the sea, in the ocean, and you are going to the bottom of the sea, and a rescuer comes to you. You must yield to him. If you struggle for the one trying to rescue you, you will drown, you will die. But you yield entirely as requested. Then will your life be excelling in this new year, in the new covenant. Yield to the calling of the covenant keeper. Yield. He calls you to repentance. Yield. He calls you to righteousness. Yield. He calls you to responsibility. This year, be a responsible woman, a responsible man, be a responsible father, be a responsible mother, be a responsible wife, be a responsible husband. Yield to the calling of God. He has called us to holiness. Yield. Surrender. Enter into an unbreakable communion like other covenant keepers. Lord, I submit. Lord, I surrender. Abrogate all commitments to covenant killers. The covenant you are making with the Lord, the promise you are making to the Lord, the consecration you are making to the Lord, do not allow any covenant killer to come in and kill the covenant and destroy the covenant. Revive your consecration to our covenant keeper. This year, you'll go higher. You'll go farther. You'll go higher, farther, and faster as well. This year, you are blessed. Wonders this year. Miracles this year. Without number. Every day carries a miracle in his hand. To deliver unto you. There's no doubt in my heart. No shadow of doubt. That this year, you, my brother, you, my sister, my son, my daughter, there, if you didn't know how to laugh, you will learn how to laugh. Where is my son there? Where is my daughter there? Where is my brother, my sister there? Where are you? Where are you? Please raise up that hand. The Lord bless your hand. The Lord bless your heart. Amen. The Lord bless your home. Amen. Where are the hands again? Wave the hand at me like this. You will harvest plenty this year. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good God, you will be good to all. No exception this year. Your goodness will reach out to every life in Jesus' name. Your grace will overflow in every life. Grace that is greater than our sin. That whatever foolishly we've done in the past, your grace flows into every life right now. Forgiveness, forgive everyone in Jesus' name. The Pharisees and the Sadducees that have brought somebody and they said, Christ, what do we say? Do we stone her? If it's by merit, she would have been stoned. But not your merit, you receive mercy today. No stone will be cast at you. Amen. Satan will not cast the stone. Amen. The demons will not cast the stone. Amen. And the men, your accusers, will not cast any stone upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Saved, pardoned, forgiven, Amen. Cleansed, Amen. Purged, you are free in Jesus' name. The Savior is for you. The Savior is on your side. And he has told the Father, I died for him. I died for her. And I pray the blessing of Calvary, the blessing of conversion, the blessing of renewal, and the blessing of restoration come upon everyone in Jesus' name. And the suffering and the sickness you carry, it will not go with you throughout that door. Right now, sickness, I command you. This body here, this brother here, this sister here is the temple of God and the temple of the Holy Ghost, and no sickness, property of the devil will remain on this temple. Be healed in Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the tip of your toe, every sickness is canceled from your life in Jesus' name. Don't allow your hands to pain you. Stretch it up. This year, you'll be heard. You will not be tamed. You move up. You'll not be submerged in the valley down in Jesus' name. Head, not the tail. Yeah. Success, not failure. Yeah. Promotion, not demotion. Yeah. Confirm it, Lord, in every life, in Jesus' name. Yeah. This year, a year of joy for you. Yeah. A year of happiness for you. A year of rejoicing in the Lord in Jesus' name. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. From the least of us to the oldest of us. Life. Exciting life. Eternal life. Abundant life. Lord, I pray. Confer it and confirm it in everyone. Yeah. And Lord, where there's poverty, remove poverty. Yeah. Where there's joblessness, remove joblessness. Yeah. Where there is barrenness, remove barrenness. Yeah. Where there's been failure up and down, I get it today, I lose it tomorrow, stop that in every life in Jesus' name. Health, strength, power, boldness, authority, faith, grace, love, hope, excitement. Lord, fruitfulness upon everyone. Brother, you got it. Sister, you got it. My boy, my daughter, you got it. As you go, go in the joy of the Lord. Go in the fulfillment of the promises of God. You've been borrowing and borrowing this year. You will give and lend. Blessings upon you. Amen. Going out, blessings upon you. Amen. Coming in, blessings upon you. Amen. Everywhere you go, the bodyguard of angels will be surrounding you. Amen. Underneath you will be the everlasting arms. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord promote you. Amen. The Lord lift you high. And the Lord's presence and power be upon you for the rest of the whole year. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.